Hallmark Entertainment presents a Silver Star Limited production in association with Larry Levinson Productions. In an ancient Egyptian drawing, a priest and priestess hold up the death mask of King Tut. Letters burn out of the screen to form the title, The Curse of King Tut. Casper Van Dien. Leonor Varela. Jonathan Hyde. Simon Callow. David Schofield. Stephen Waddington, Nico Nicotera, Patrick Toomey. A square stone covered in hieroglyphics with a hole at its centre rotates above a map. Francisco Bosch, Brendan Patricks, Tat Wally, and Malcolm McDowell. Objects float out of mist and cross the screen. A pair of dividers surrounded by a rotating gold circle. A vase with a lid shaped like a cat's head. A pyramid with the Eye of Horus at the top. An ancient Egyptian sarcophagus and a golden statue of an Egyptian spear-wielding warrior. The golden death mask of King Tut floats out of the mist. Its eyes blink open. Within the eye is the square stone. The stone splits into four parts and a demonic winged creature floats past the stone. Produced by Mitch Engel, written by David Titcher, directed by Russell Marquet. Three pyramids float above flames. It's the 1920s. A press pack has gathered to see Danny Fremont and his team outside their excavation of King Tut's tomb.
How does it feel to be the most famous man in the world?
Nay, you're kidding, right?
No, our circulation's tripled since you found the tomb. People can't get enough of you and King Tut.
Well, let me introduce you to the rest of the team.
Danny, they want to know about you. Are you married?
Not yet.
He grabs Azealia.
Dr. Azealia Barakat combines the beauty of Sarah Bernhardt with the wisdom of Thomas Edison.
Is there any romance between the two of you?
Absolutely not, Doctor.
Of course not.
Our readers would like to know. Anything?
Sir, how will we get past the lock from Thebes? It is supposed to be absolutely impenetrable.
That was 4,000 years ago. They didn't have dynamite back then.
Some of Morgan Sinclair's men are carrying a case of dynamite. They creep up to the edge of the excavation and look down.
Tell us about the curse.
No curse could stop my team. A braver group of human beings God never created. Jason McGreevy almost single-handedly defeated the Germans at the Battle of Passchendaele. And Andrew Walker, who couldn't be here with us today, but still an integral part of our team, he showed the kind of courage you only read about in the Rider Hadger novels. And I'd like to acknowledge my colleague, Morgan Sinclair, who's come here to congratulate us on this historic and monumental discovery.
Danny raises his hat to Sinclair, who, put out at having been spotted, returns the compliment.
Bastard.
A black and white cinema newsreel. A special report. The sarcophagus of King Tut and the Great Pyramid. Danny wanders into frame holding a book. Footage of Danny, Azealia, Jason and Brian taken outside the tomb. Some people raise their glasses in a toast. The entrance to the tomb. Danny and his team are shown horsing about in front of the tomb. They do a silly Egyptian-style walk, backwards and forwards. Then the men carry Azealia, who waves to the camera. Danny is held shoulder high. The team sit on an ancient Egyptian bench, shaped like a leopard, and wave to the camera. At the Hellfire Council, Sinclair, George Russell, Nathan Cairns, and others are gathered around a table for a meeting.
Danny Fremont discovers Tutankhamun's tomb. Fremont, the world's greatest archaeologist. Have we somehow missed your name, Sinclair? Perhaps you were Danny's trusted water boy.
No.
No? Oh, really? So you have the fourth emerald tablet, do you?
No. But we mustn't draw attention to our activities, not while we search for the tablet.
You mean while Fremont searches?
I can handle Fremont. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I continue to trust you, Sinclair. I really don't. You've been a great disappointment to me of late. I just hope that I won't regret my many indulgences.
An artifact is removed from the tomb.
Come on!
It's a box covered in gold leaf with a jackal on the top.
Careful. All right, bring it over. No, bring it back over here, guys. Back over here.
Careful.
Azelia picks up two gold axes.
Axes of Dramid Death.
More artifacts are brought out of the tomb. Danny stops Jacques as he emerges and finds a gold figurine stashed in his jacket.
I was going to report it.
Danny stops Jacques again and takes a second gold figurine from his jacket. He then takes the golden boat Jacques is carrying.
Oh, this has to be at least 200 pounds. 200 pounds of solid gold. $300 an ounce, that's $1 million. And don't forget the historical value. That's triple the price.
Wrong. Historical value makes it priceless.
Danny carries the golden boat and the figurines over to Azelia.
What the hell are you so upset about? We're rich and famous.
That's exactly the problem. Nothing I ever do is going to be as exciting as this.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, Danny. Don't you think it's about time for a break?
Holy mother of madness, why did you go there? Must have cost you a fortune.
I just told them about my share of Tut's treasure.
Stop spending the money you don't have and may never get.
What's she talking about?
I don't know why you all think you can simply sell these things. They don't belong to you. They belong to Egypt.
According to the terms of our license to excavate, signed by the Department of Antiquities, everything here belongs to whoever digs it up.
This should all be displayed in the Egyptian History Museum for the entire world to see.
We have no problem with that as long as they're the highest bidder.
Azelia looks troubled by the other's attitude. She looks at Danny, who gives her a conciliatory smile. Later, down in the tomb...
No! It will take at least four of you to pick this up.
I don't think so.
Jason and Jacques pick up a box covered in gold leaf. As they carry it towards the door, Danny comes in.
Everybody take a break. Get a breath of fresh air.
He turns to Azelia and a local man.
Need you to contact Tutankhamun. We need him to guide us to the last piece of the Emerald Tablet.
The local man, Mahmoud, concentrates and starts to put himself into a trance. Mahmoud stops and shakes his head.
No. Try again.
Mahmoud puts himself into a trance again, and his body jerks and spasms. Danny nods encouragingly as Mahmoud levitates off the ground. Mahmoud addresses Danny and Azelia. I will lead you to it. He moves jerkily in the air. Move the sun and the moon as if they are one. Mahmoud comes out of his trance and lands back on the ground.
Sun and the moon.
As if they are one.
Danny and Azelia go over to some carvings on the wall.
Moon and sun. I should have known.
Now.
They push the carving simultaneously and it sets off some sort of mechanism within the tomb. They look over at a statue of a seated pharaoh and a compartment opens within it. They dash over to the statue and lift out a piece of the Emerald Tablet.
Can't believe it.
I'm not gonna let you get away from me.
Azelia frowns.
Do you recognize the language?
Judging by the lettering and the sentence structure, it seems to be written in language even predating ancient Egyptian.
Egyptian hieroglyphics were the first recorded language. How could anything predate them?
Yunan and soldiers arrive outside the tomb as Mahmud berates the press.
People would kill for this. Maybe we'd keep it a secret, at least until we decipher it.
Yeah, we should hide it where Sinclair can't find it.
Unleashed great evil in this world. We have death, destruction. I warn you. You, what you are doing.
On the surface, Danny hides the piece of the stone and spots Yunan kissing Azelia's hand.
What the hell's going on?
This excavation is now the possession of the Republic of Egypt.
This is my license to excavate. I have a deal.
The deal is hereby null and void.
Danny seethes. Azelia hides the bag containing the stone.
This is my dig. I found the tomb. The Republic of Egypt had absolutely nothing to do with it.
On behalf of my government, I thank you. However, these items should be enjoyed by the entire world and not be profited upon by a few individuals.
To Azelia.
You know about this.
She looks down awkwardly.
Dr. Barakat is now in charge of the excavation.
Very good, Azelia. You have what you wanted. Total control.
This is not about control. This is about Egypt's heritage.
This decision wasn't Dr. Barakat's. It was made by the highest level of my government.
The least you could have done is warned us. Warned me.
Your government's gonna make a fortune out of this, and we did all the hard work. We deserve some kind of percentage.
That's not for me to give. I will not allow the slightest hint of impropriety.
It's not impropriety to give my men something for their sweat, labor, and faith.
It wasn't faith. It was greed.
We put your precious Egypt on the map! Before us, nobody gave a damn about this desert nightmare on our country.
Egypt is a great nation. Escort them out of the valley immediately.
Yes, and take your junk with you.
Azelia hands Danny the bag containing the piece of the stone. The soldiers escort Danny's team from the dig.
No! We can't let them push us around. We have to go out fighting.
Danny goes over to Jacques.
Come on, let's get a drink. Come on. Come on! Go!
That night, Brian sits with Danny and Jason.
You look like I felt when I lost my first racehorse in a game.
I could blow up this restaurant for you. Would that cheer you up?
Sorry, guys. I shouldn't have come.
Danny gets up and leaves the restaurant. As he walks down the steps, a car pulls up. A masked man wearing a turban shoves Danny towards the car, as another similarly attired man springs out of it. Danny punches the first man, who seems unaffected by the blow. He knocks Danny out.
We should go with him?
I will. And I'll see if I can talk him into paying the bill.
Jason goes out after Danny as the masked men bundle him into the back of the car. Jason comes down the steps just as the car drives off. Jason picks up Danny's fedora and watches the car disappear. He runs back inside.
Danny's been kidnapped! Let's go!
Sinclair has Danny tied to a board over water.
Of course, I've got the tablet, but I will never tell you.
Never.
You've been a formidable opponent.
Sinclair drops Danny into the water.
Just tell me where you've hidden the tablet.
Never.
Never say never.
He dunks Danny's head back under the water. An eel swims around in the water past Danny's head. Sinclair leaves him under for a while and watches Danny's hands twitch in their bindings. He brings him back up again.
And you want to know the supreme irony?
You're mad!
Sinclair regards him coolly and dips him back into the water again.
You've only scratched the surface. As strange as you think the world is, my friend, I assure you, it's a thousand times stranger.
He pulls Danny up out of the water again.
Just kill me.
I'm not going to kill you, Fremont. I'm going to mummify you.
You're joking.
Ow, When did you ever know me to have a sense of humour?
He dunks Danny again, then lays him horizontal.
Rakesh! Dry him off.
Sinclair tosses Prakash a towel. It's getting dark outside as Sinclair begins to wrap Danny in bandages.
I pride myself on historical accuracy. This is the exact linen material the ancient Egyptians used. The actual embalming took 70 days, but I'm sure you won't mind if I cut a few corners.
He snips a bandage with some scissors, then picks up a bowl of rock salt and sprinkles it over Danny.
Salt will help dry out your body to make it easier to eviscerate you. Soon, but not yet, I'm going to remove your internal organs. First, here's my favorite part.
He picks up an implement.
I'm going to pull your brain out through your nose with the help of this ingenious little device.
It has a small grabber in the end of it. He inserts it into Danny's nose. Jason runs in and biffs Sinclair.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Took you so long.
Jason plonks Danny's hat on his head and he and the other team members help him up. As Sinclair's masked guards run in, Jason and the others trade shots and fists with them. Jason shoots one of the guards dead and they make their escape. Brian brings up the rear. Later, Danny toasts his rescuers in a bar.
To all of you, thanks to you, I still have a brain. That's a good thing. I like having a brain.
And here's to starting to use it. All right. We left the party, so we brought it to you.
Jason and Margaretha.
I've had enough to drink tonight, guys.
Ah, oh, but we haven't.
A toast to Danny, king of adventure.
Yes, to Danny.
You know, you never really buy a fine whiskey. You merely rent it.
Jason hurries off to the loo. Margaretha perches on Danny's desk.
I've been hearing rumors of something far more valuable than gold in Tutankhamun's tomb.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A weapon of incredible power. It is said that whoever controls this weapon controls the world. Look at your face. You found it, haven't you, my darling?
As a matter of fact, I did find something. I flew back to the States last week to have my colleagues at Princeton investigate. I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
Hey, I used your name. Got a good seat.
You know, as much fun as this has been, I've got a lot of work to do.
No.
I'll see you in the morning. Thanks for stopping by.
We only just got here.
All right. You're no fun.
Danny holds the door open for them and they go. Later, Danny sits with Azelia in a subterranean catacomb studying the stone tablet that they found in the tomb.
This is complete gibberish. It is impossible to make anything out of it.
It's not impossible. We'll figure it out. Have you told Heigl about it?
She gives him a look.
Why not?
He is completely incorruptible. Oh, I love that about him, but he demands we turn this over and who knows where it would end up.
Danny nods and smirks as he makes some notes.
This is just way over my head.
I have faith in you.
She smiles.
That is because you have no choice.
He shrugs.
No.
She puts her glasses on and studies the stone.
Okay.
Margaretha and Sinclair.
He said he shipped it off to his colleagues at Princeton for research.
You really haven't learned a lot. He never went to Princeton, nor did he ever teach there. He must have suspected you.
Margaretha glares at him.
Bleeding costs extra.
He tosses her a coin. She stashes it inside her blouse and dabs at her lip where he whacked her. Azelia studies a book as Danny paces.
I've got it!
So do I. It's a cross between Finno-Ugric
and a variant of early Sanskrit.
Yes!
They share a meaningful look. Danny brushes Azelia's dark hair from her face.
Well, now that all the hard work is done, I'm sure you'll have no trouble translating it.
Where are you going?
Oh, you're on your own now, cowboy. I have a tat exhibit to mount at the History Museum, and I must be getting some sleep.
You can't possibly be going. I mean, this is probably the greatest message mankind has ever received.
Well, the glory is all yours.
She goes, leaving Danny looking disappointed. A big white painted hospital. Sinclair walks into a room in the hospital and finds a pale and feverish Andrew Walker lying in a bed. There's blood on his pillow. Andrew looks up apprehensively as Sinclair approaches.
I trust you know who I am. It's Andrew, isn't it? I'm prepared to give you $1 million and the cure for your tuberculosis.
The doctor said no cure.
Well, they would, wouldn't they? Too much money in the disease business to start curing everybody.
Why me?
Can't you guess? The Emerald Tablet. Your chum Fremont has it. I just don't know where. Perhaps you could help.
Andrew doesn't look very interested.
You're tired and angry. Let me show you how sweet life can be.
He injects Andrew with something. Andrew's eyes widen in alarm. In a museum hall, workers unpack the artifacts taken from the tomb and put them in exhibition cases. Azealia comes in.
I know we're all tired, overworked, and underpaid, but this isn't about us. It's greater than we are. This is our chance to show the entire world the greatness of Egypt. You're doing a wonderful job. Now take this to the third room, yes?
Please, I need you.
Danny, you're careful. What happened?
Danny leads her to a quiet corner of the exhibition hall. He takes the stone tablet wrapped in a cloth from his bag.
The four pieces of the Emerald Tablet must never be joined together, or they will open a portal to another realm, unleashing evil the likes of which the world has never seen. You didn't come and load that message.
Azealia gawps apprehensively at the stone.
It's probably just another curse, like the one we found outside the tomb.
This wasn't left out to scare us. This was hidden in the hopes that nobody would ever find it. You know, this goes against everything we believe as scientists and historians, but this scares the hell out of me.
Me too.
In his hospital bed, Andrew looks much better as a doctor comes in.
Mr. Walker, we have received the results of the latest tests. We ran them twice just to be sure.
And?
There is absolutely no sign of tuberculosis in any part of your body.
You mean I'm cured?
It's a miracle. A true miracle. Congratulations, Mr. Walker.
In a bar.
I just realized something. Sinclair can't get the last tablet. He came too close this time. There can't be a next time. We have to destroy it.
It's not like any other stone I've ever seen before. How do we do that?
Danny, Jason, Jack, and Brian all look at Rembrandt. He looks up, surprised.
What?
Rembrandt is blindfolded.
Watch your step.
Danny leads Rembrandt through a covered arcade. Rembrandt rests his hand on Danny's shoulder as Danny leads the way. Rembrandt bumps into a man walking past.
Follow me. Over here.
Andrew sticks his head out from an archway and watches them go by. Once they've gone, he hurries off the other way. Danny leads Rembrandt down some steps into the subterranean catacomb.
Careful now. One more step.
Skulls and desiccated human remains line the walls and floor of the catacomb. Danny lifts the bandages covering Rembrandt's eyes and shows him the stone.
This has to be destroyed. Can you do it?
Christ, you don't trust me.
Rembrandt crouches down and sets an explosive charge under the stone. He takes a box of matches from his pocket and strikes a match. He lights a fuse and he and Danny run for cover in the catacombs. They stand either side of an archway.
I'm naming it
Rhapsody in Green.
They walk back down the catacomb and survey their handiwork. The stone lies on the ground, completely unharmed.
Don't understand. It's not your fault.
As Rembrandt scratches his head, Danny picks the stone up.
Okay, let's lock this up. Watch your step.
Danny leads the once again blindfolded Rembrandt back into the arcade. As they head off, Andrew, Sinclair and Prakash appear behind them and watch them go. With a look at Sinclair, Andrew walks off. Clutching lanterns, Sinclair and Prakash make their way down into the catacombs. Sinclair peers around in the gloom.
Okay.
Sinclair splits up from Prakash and they search individually. Prakash seems spooked by the place and jumps on seeing a skeleton. Sinclair finds a barred alcove.
Here, quick, get over here, hurry up!
Prakash trots over to him.
Careful.
Prakash prods and twiddles at a design set in the centre of the bars. He activates a mechanism. The bars fold away into the centerpiece.
Clever boy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here, take this.
Sinclair hands his lantern to Prakash, then uses his cane to rake out some skulls from the alcove. He reaches in and takes out the stone. He turns it over in his hands. Andrew sits at a table outside a cafe drinking a coffee. Sinclair's car pulls up alongside him, and the door opens.
Get in.
With a last look around, Andrew gets in the car, and it drives off. Andrew and Sinclair chat as they're driven along.
You found it just like I said?
Found it just like you said.
Andrew looks uneasy.
I'll take that check now.
You've earned it.
Sinclair reaches into his pocket and pulls out an automatic pistol. He shoots Andrew as he leaps from the car.
Back in a minute.
Sinclair leaps out of the car and runs after Andrew, who's been shot in the left arm. Andrew runs up a ramp and goes on into a building. He races up some narrow steps and throws boxes down on Sinclair as he comes after him. Andrew runs through a door and closes it behind him. Sinclair runs out into an open-sided tower and looks out over the rooftops of the adjacent buildings. There's no sign of Andrew. Andrew is in fact crouching on the side of the tower. He leaps across to an adjacent roof and Sinclair spots him. Andrew tumbles down a steeply angled section of roof, then runs along the top of a wall. He jumps down to the alley below. Sinclair bounds off the rooftop and drops down into the alley. Andrew ducks into a building as Sinclair runs along a narrow corridor. Andrew looks at his blood-soaked arm and rips the sleeve off his shirt. He wraps it around his injured arm and runs off up some stairs. Sinclair arrives at the foot of the stairs and sees blood on the ground. He looks around and follows the trail up the stairs. He emerges onto a flat roof covered in washing lines, which are all hung with white sheets. Andrew hides behind one of the sheets as Sinclair stalks by. Sinclair stops in his tracks and looks back at one of the sheets. He pulls the sword from his sword stick cane and slices the sheet open. He sees another bloodstained sheet beyond. Andrew rips his way through a sheet, and Sinclair goes after him.
Mr. Walker!
Andrew flees through the washing lines, and Sinclair comes after him, his sword at the ready. Wrapped up in a sheet, Andrew sees Sinclair closing in and fearfully stumbles on. Sinclair pushes his way through the washing and comes after Andrew. As Sinclair closes in, Andrew falls over and backs away from Sinclair along a narrow ledge. Sinclair extends the point of his sword towards Andrew.
Please, please, don't kill me.
Whatever happened to trust?
He sheathes his sword.
Settle down, settle down. There we are.
Sinclair adjusts Andrew's collar, then begins to choke him to death. He dies.
Good boy.
Sinclair wipes his hands, then straightens up and kicks Andrew's body off the roof. It hits an awning on the way down and bounces into the road. Passers-by flock around the body as Sinclair looks down into the street. Russell, Cairns, Margaretha and others arrive outside the tomb.
Good evening.
No civilians allowed here.
Well, here's a letter from President El Rafi himself. Splendid man, we were at Oxford together. Come on, George.
The guard looks at the letter and waves them in. Danny finds Azalea in the museum.
Azalea, it's gone.
The Emerald Tablet?
Sinclair has all four pieces now.
Jabari, take over for me.
Yes, Doctor.
The tomb.
The baddies are performing a ceremony in the tomb.
I cross the abyss. Before you, kings will tremble and empires will fall.
Azalea and Danny pull up outside the tomb in a truck. As they get out, the guard salutes Azalea.
Madam?
They head into the tomb.
We have to stop him before he can put the tablet together.
They creep along a corridor and look into the main chamber where the baddies are gathered.
Power of seven. About me flames the ancient face. Star.
It's too late.
In the column stands his six-rayed splendor.
We need help.
Hic est calix voluptatis carnis.
Danny and Azalea head off. Sinclair holds the completed stone. Flames rush up to the stone.
We have to regroup.
We need Mahmoud.
Danny and Azalea run up out of the tomb. A column of fire engulfs Sinclair as he holds the stone aloft. A strange force seems to invade his body, and white light glows from his mouth and eyes. A strange swirling white mist races around the burial chamber. The column of fire dies away, but Sinclair's eyes and mouth continue to glow eerily. Danny and Azalea drive along in the truck. As they bump along a rough track, a demon flies up the valley past them.
I don't know.
They drive on. Something races through the streets of the town and finds Mahmoud sleeping on some steps. He sits up with a start.
It has begun.
He looks up and sees three winged demons fly down at him. He rolls down the steps, then gets up and tries to get away from the bat-like winged creatures which come after him. He swats at the demons as they attack him. In reality, it seems he's actually fighting some people who are trying to help him. He clubs a demon, but in reality, he hits a man. He grabs hold of a demon and whacks it, although really, it's another man. Now he strangles a demon, which is once again really a man. The demon glows red hot and disappears.
Leave us up,
stop your
Mahmoud is arrested and put in a cell.
God! God! I'm not mad! Do you hear me? I'm not mad!
Any phenomena seem to be inexplicable, but have perfectly logical causes.
You can't be serious. You saw everything.
Yes, but things in the desert often seem to be something much more than they really are. Still.
Danny shrugs.
But maybe you don't believe it, but something has happened. Promise me you'll be careful.
I promise.
They share a lingering look.
I should go inside.
Yeah, I should get going.
She nods. Danny steps forward.
Stay with me. At least until we figure out what's happening.
I'll be fine.
Oh, I worry about you.
Oh, don't.
I wish it was that easy.
Good night, Danny. Try and get some sleep.
She goes into her house, leaving Danny staring after her. The next day, the doctor walks along a veranda at the hospital. Jason comes up to him.
Hey, where's our friend?
He checked out several days ago. Has he gotten in touch with you?
Concerned, Jason looks at Danny. Later, they search the market.
I've checked every one of his horns. Nobody's seen him. Where the hell is he?
Azealia.
I'm so sorry. Walker was found dead last night in the old city. No one knows what happened.
I'm gonna miss you, old buddy.
Andrew lies in an open coffin in what looks like a hotel lobby.
How are you, Danny?
Miss him already.
Yeah, me too.
Sinclair and Prakash.
Goodness, morality, compassion. I really honestly don't see what the fuss is all about. Evil is so much more fun, don't you think?
I haven't really thought of it.
You should. Demons, for instance. People assume demons bring evil from the outside, but they don't.
They don't?
Demons nurture the evil that festers within, cultivate it, allow it to blossom. One's worst impulses are given free rein. It's glorious. Watch this.
A masked guard steps forward. Sinclair grabs him by the throat and lifts him off the ground. Sinclair starts to inhale the guard in the form of a black mist, which peels off the guard and disappears into Sinclair's mouth. The guard's feet flap about as he struggles. Margaretha opens a secret door into the room and watches in horror as Sinclair inhales the guard. Eventually, all that is left is a skull that turns to black dust and is inhaled too. At the Hellfire Council, Russell steps up to Cairns.
Master. Get rid of Sinclair. I don't like what I'm hearing. And now that we have the single fuse tablet, who needs him?
But we don't have the tablet. Sinclair has the tablet.
Exactly, my dear fellow. Exactly.
I shall bring the tablet here. And take care of Sinclair. Permanently.
Very good. Be discreet.
Sinclair paces across his room, humming to himself and reading a book. He sits down and looks over at the tablet, which is in a glass display case nearby. He closes his eyes. A gloved hand aims a pistol at Sinclair.
Come in. I've been expecting you.
The masked assailant winces and holds his hand to his head.
Go on.
Pull the trigger.
Stop that!
Stop what? You've got the gun.
Stop the voices! You're putting it in my head!
Have a seat.
Apparently battling some sort of mental seizure, the gunman staggers to a seat, still aiming his gun at Sinclair.
Self-destructive thought?
Sinclair sips a cup of tea as the gunman turns his weapon on himself.
Now look what you've done. I have to go and clean up.
With Margaretha.
So how'd you get into Sinclair's?
I'm a spy.
Spy?
Sinclair hired me.
Figures.
But I can't do it anymore. Danny Sinclair needs to be stopped.
You're a spy. You said so yourself. Why should we trust you?
Because even I can't make up this soul-sucking supernatural stuff.
Danny and Jason exchange a look.
King of the demons, Lord of the Flame, I invoke thee. Do my bidding, O demons of Set. Find Daniel Fremont and his followers and kill them.
They must not live. Kill them! Fremont, I will be rid of you once and for all.
As people wander about in the market, a large flock of demons begins to gather in the air above them. The people look up as the demons swoop down. Panicked, the people run for cover, and the bat-like demons attack. As the people struggle with the creatures, the demons are sometimes visible and sometimes invisible. A man writhes about on the ground and then lies still. A stall full of yellow powder blows up. Cairns, Russell and the others sit around the big table in the Hellfire Council. Russell looks at his watch.
He's not here yet. He's the best assassin we've got. Give him time. He's never failed us yet.
No news is not necessarily good news.
Gentlemen, sorry I'm late. Unexpected visitor. No, don't get up. I hope you all appreciate the enormous effort I've made to meet the exacting standards set by Lord Russell.
George, do I measure up? Do I still look like a crit in Cairns? I wouldn't go out there if I were you. The infection is loose. Contagion is rife. Mankind will soon be crippled, setting the stage for the return of the great beast Set. Evil will rule forever. Our power is unstoppable. What are you talking about, man? We don't want evil to rule. We plan to rule.
I've made one tiny adjustment to your plan. Look at you. Masters of the universe. You're just flesh and bone. Oh, which reminds me, I brought you a present.
Sinclair conceals a fireball in his hand as the body of the assassin is brought in.
You're handyman, I presume?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. I must say, George, if there's one thing about a well-cut suit, it can certainly take the heat.
Sinclair throws the fireball into the air, and it hovers over the long table, burning fiercely.
Now, beg for your lives, I might just let you live. Sorry?
Well, I
can't understand a word! Spit it out, man! No, I don't believe you!
Fire engulfs Russell and everyone else sitting at the table except Cairns. They're reduced to ash.
What have you done? In God's name, what have you done?
I'm taking my rightful place as head of the Hellfire Council. Get out of my chair.
No.
Sinclair throws a firebolt at Cairns. He bursts into flames and his skeleton crumbles away to ash. Sinclair takes his seat at the head of the table.
Any more questions?
There's a large bronze statue of a man bowing his head at the far end of the room. In a hotel lobby, Danny addresses his team.
Marguerite has confirmed that Sinclair is behind everything that has been happening. Jacques, we need to start round-the-clock surveillance on him starting now.
The lights go out.
Turn the lights on. What's going on?
He sees everyone else has gone.
Where is everybody? McGreevy, if you're joking, it's not funny!
He spots Azealia by the fireplace.
Azealia?
She doesn't look round. He steps towards her.
It's you.
He keeps walking towards her.
I don't know what I was thinking, babe, with that clown, Heiko.
She turns to face him.
It's you I love.
She puts her arm round him.
It's always been you.
She leans in and kisses him, As she does so, her fingers, resting on his shoulder, turn into gnarled, veined talons. She breaks off the kiss and smiles at him, then opens her mouth and sticks out an enormous snake-like tongue, which wraps around Danny's neck. She goes invisible, and Danny appears to punch the air. He runs over some furniture and leaps in the air, falling onto the floor face down. An invisible force drags him backwards across the carpet to the fireplace. He gets up and sits in a chair. Azealia reappears and sits astride him.
You want to give me your heart?
She grabs his chest and appears to age before going invisible again.
You're not dead. It's real. You're a hallucination!
Everyone's back in the room.
I know how to fight them. It's all in your head.
You're exhausted.
It's too important. Use your minds to fight it. Tutankhamun will protect us. Azealia.
He and Jason rush off.
Don't move him.
At the museum, two large statues of Anubis stand overlooking Azealia as she works at her desk. Hearing a noise, she looks up and takes her glasses off. Seeing no one, she puts her glasses back on and carries on working. More noises disturb her, so she takes her specs off again and looks around. She puts her specs back on again and carries on working. More noise, so off come the specs for a good look round. She looks at mummified remains in a display case and at a statue of an Egyptian man. Ink drips from the nib of her pen. She puts her specs back on. Hearing more creepy noises, off come the specs again. She looks around at the artifacts in the room, then gets up and goes for a wander around the exhibits. She pauses, then walks on. Something slashes at her and misses. She looks around, sees nothing and runs over to the window. As she does so, a winged demon appears. It flaps about, then disappears into her chest in a flash of green light. She convulses a bit. Danny and Jason drive through the streets of Cairo in a truck, a determined-looking Danny at the wheel. The truck pulls up outside the museum, and Danny calls over to Yunan.
Wake Azealia up or she's gonna die!
Not threatening her, he's trying to save her life.
If we don't get to her right now, she will die.
Yunan considers the grim news.
It's okay.
They all run into the museum. Inside, Azealia is having a fit on a bed. In her mind's eye, images flash by. Sinclair, her with Danny, somebody having a fit, a knife, lots of different people having fits. Sinclair sticking the brain-sucking out thing up Danny's nose. Tutankhamun, Set, a burning well. Sinclair sucking up black dust like a demonic hoover. Set's skull-like head with staring yellow eyes. Danny and the others run in.
Celia, wake up!
Danny! Where are you? Help me! Danny! Danny, me! Where are you?
You're asleep! You have to wake up!
It don't exist!
She snaps out of it. Later, she talks with Yunan.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about you and this Fremont?
No. We're just colleagues. Yunan, I know you think this is all affairs of the heart, but it isn't. There is more to it. The night wasn't just a bad dream. It almost killed me. Something horrible is happening. Something truly evil.
They look out of the balcony and see a huge flock of demons flying past. They run out onto the balcony and watch the leathery winged creatures fly by, their vast numbers filling the sky. Danny drives along in the truck with Jason behind him. They drive into the marketplace, which now looks like a war zone with stalls overturned, fires burning, and dead bodies lying around the place. Pistols at the ready, Danny and Jason jump out of the truck and look around. Demons flap about high in the sky above them. Danny and Jason walk through the marketplace surveying the carnage. Later, Danny talks to his team back at the hotel.
Something evil was unleashed when we opened up the tomb. I always thought that the emerald tablets would open a portal to another dimension, but I never thought it would allow demons into our world.
What does that mean for us? Evil ruling the planet?
How do we stop this?
The last time something like this happened, Tutankhamun was the only one who could stop it. We have to find the portal, enter this other world, and rescue Tutankhamun.
Everyone looks grim. Sinclair.
I welcome thee, O great beast Set. The world waits for your return.
He takes his shades off.
Welcome.
Set's huge face appears vision-like in the sky. Night at the hotel.
We need to find a way back into the tomb. The portal has to be there.
It won't stop until we make it stop.
I'm in.
Sounds great. I'd love to.
Can we trust you?
Not usually, no. But I'd rather not have demons controlling the world.
We need Mahmoud. He's our connection to Tut.
Later, Danny and his crew raid the prison.
Mahmoud!
Check out the rooms!
They make their way into a central courtyard. Mahmoud is lying on the ground. Danny helps him up and he, Azealia and the others back away, warding off other inmates with their guns. Later, they arrive outside the Hellfire Council. Danny, Azealia, and Jason peep over a wall.
How the hell are we gonna get in there?
Armed guards are outside. Margaretha.
I know a secret entrance. Follow me.
Stay here. Keep watch. Be careful.
Jacques!
Danny and Jacques head off with Margaretha. In the market, a man walks through the chaos and smashes an urn with his stick. Sinclair and Prakash stand on a bridge watching. The sky above them is full of demons.
Look out!
Prakash ducks a demon.
Spectacular.
Smiling, he watches the chaos in the street below. Margaretha leads Danny, Jason, Jacques and another legionnaire in through the secret door to the Hellfire Council. They walk over to the pyramid-shaped glass case which houses the Emerald Tablet. As Danny opens the case, Sinclair, who's still on the bridge, looks troubled.
The tablet. We must go back.
Sinclair and Prakash hurry off. Danny holds up the stone tablet. Guards come in and shoot the spare legionnaire. Jacques shoots the guards. Jacques, Danny, Margaretha and Jason hurry back through the secret door with the tablet. Sinclair's car pulls up outside and he and Prakash get out. They run into the Hellfire Council building and find the tablet gone. Next day, Azealia, Danny and the team arrive at the tomb.
Hi, Danny. What took you so long?
Fighting supernatural evil tends to take a little time.
They go into the tomb. Yunan and some journalists follow them in.
This is the biggest story since the birth of Jesus. It's probably bigger.
Danny and Azealia lead the way into the burial chamber. Danny turns to Azealia.
Stay close to me.
She nods and beckons to Mahmoud.
Come here.
He walks over to her.
What now? Mahmoud, we need your help. Please try.
He nods. Yunan comes in.
Azealia.
She goes over to him.
Hi, girl.
I was worried you'd come here.
She regards him softly and touches his face.
You know I have to go.
Danny comes over as Mahmoud goes into a trance.
And I'm coming with you. That's just not possible.
I'm in charge of this site and I am coming.
Just don't slow us down.
Just a proper.
You must go down here.
I may guess. More digging.
A world ending time pressure. Figure it out already!
Rembrandt arrives with dynamite. He puts the dynamite in the place indicated by Mahmoud, and everyone runs for cover. The dynamite explodes, and they all go back to inspect the damage. There's now a hole in the floor.
Let's go.
Clutching a lantern, Danny leads the way down into the hole. Everyone else troops in behind him. Danny and Azealia lead the way along a corridor made of heavy stone blocks and emerge at the top of some stone steps. They look around the chamber they're in.
This was built long before the pyramids.
Amazing. Look at the advance in the architectural structure.
All awe-inspired, they look around. Danny leads the way down the stone steps. They go over to a wall which has a carving of a big monster on it.
I've seen this before. This is the demon that tried to kill me in my dream.
Something catches Azealia's eye. She takes a lantern from Yunan and walks towards whatever it is. Yunan follows her.
Danny?
She walks on and Danny comes after her.
Set. The great beast. I always thought it was a legend, but this...
A carving of Set.
Fascinating.
At the risk of repeating myself, world-ending, time pressure, let's move out!
Up on the surface, Sinclair's car arrives, accompanied by several masked armed men.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, when the devil drives, needs must.
Sinclair and his men walk down into the tomb.
Let's split up, Azealia, this way.
Yunan leads on down some steps in the tomb. Rembrandt, Azealia and Danny follow him. The others head off another way. Sinclair, Prakash and his men find the hole in the floor.
Stay close to the wall. Stairs can be treacherous. Come on.
Sinclair leads the way into the hole. Yunan leads the way along a narrow corridor. They pass a carving of a snake. Yunan turns to Azealia.
Are you all right?
Yes.
She examines the carving of the snake by the light of her lantern.
Now just what is this?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it.
This is even greater than the Labyrinth of Thebes. Whatever it is, we Egyptians should be quite proud. The ancient Egyptians didn't build this. This was built by a civilization far greater.
As they walk on down the corridor, the carving of the giant snake comes to life behind them. Hearing a noise, Yunan turns and looks back.
Yunan!
As the snake bears down, Rembrandt lights a stick of dynamite. He pushes Yunan aside and the snake swallows him, explosives and all. The dynamite explodes, blowing the snake's head off.
We must move on.
Looking mildly shaken, Danny, Azealia and Yunan press on. Brian, Jacques and the others wander about elsewhere in the tomb.
Never gonna make it to the portal. I'm gonna be trapped here forever.
Shut up.
One of the pressmen sets his movie camera up to shoot some film.
Look at the camera, boys!
He cranks the handle on the side of the camera. Jason, Brian and the others turn to look at the camera. Suddenly a hole in the ground opens up behind the cameraman and he's sucked into a swirling, fiery vortex. The others all run for it. Sinclair leads the way down a dark corridor, holding a lantern aloft.
Yalla.
Prakash and his masked guards follow him down another inky black corridor.
Thank you.
As the last guard steps into the corridor, a heavy stone door slides shut behind him, trapping them all.
What?
We're trapped!
Sinclair looks up and sees the ceiling is descending.
Quickly, quickly!
They all run down the corridor. As they run on, the ceiling gets lower and lower. Sinclair, Prakash and two guards manage to escape out of the end of the corridor, but the other guards are not so lucky and all get crushed to death. Unite.
We lost Rembrandt.
We lost Axelrod.
There's something in this room.
They arrive in the room with the fiery vortex.
The portal.
This is clearly beyond science.
How the hell can this transport us to the demon world?
Well, there's no way I'm going in there.
We must save that. He's the only one that can stop what the demons have started.
It's a million to one shot us going in there and coming out alive. I'll go first.
No, no!
Mahmood! Danny, Mahmood's been shot!
Don't do anything stupid.
You obviously don't know us too well.
Ermeco!
Danny and his crew trade shots with Sinclair and his two remaining guards.
Everyone into the portal!
Danny and Azealia jump into the portal, followed by Yunan and Jacques. Jason tosses Brian in. As Mark Aretha trades shots with the baddies, Jason leaps into the portal. He and the others swirl around in the vortex. Danny materializes in a sort of blob of glowing light. Azealia, Yunan and the others appear shortly after him. They seem to be in a quarry beside a pool. Fireballs rain down from a swirling black sky.
It's like something out of a dream.
More like a nightmare.
All mist from hell surely come from this place.
Oh, ancient cultures talked of an underworld filled with torment. The Christians called it hell.
Unfortunately for us, this hell is no myth.
Sinclair's right behind us. We have to keep moving.
Where do we go?
Without Mahmood, we're lost.
Jacques starts to talk as if possessed. I am Tutankhamun.
Oh my god, it's Tut.
You have come. You must go higher, he says.
Danny leads the way.
Come on.
Sinclair appears with Prakash and his men on a high promontory in the quarry. He stretches his arms out and soaks up the hellish ambience. He spots Danny and his party making their way through the quarry. He quickly scurries off. Danny and Jason scramble over a ledge in the quarry and then help Azealia and the others up. A fireball explodes against the side of the quarry. Danny looks ahead and draws his pistol from his shoulder holster. He leads on. Sinclair, Prakash and the two remaining guards make their way through the quarry. Danny leads his crew along a narrow ledge. The pool is some 50 feet below them. A nervous Brian brings up the rear and clings to the rock face as he goes. Sinclair strolls along elsewhere in the quarry. Danny's party continue along the ledge.
It must be at least 150 degrees.
Water? Water? My kingdom for some water?
Brian is suddenly pulled against the rock face by a bright white light emanating from it. He's sucked into the rocks and disappears. Danny and the others pound against the rock face, but it has once again become solid. Sinclair and his men stroll across the quarry. Danny spots a fireball coming his way.
Run!
Everyone runs along the ledge. A fireball strikes the spot where they've been standing. More fireballs rain down. Sinclair and Prakash dodge one, but their guards are not so lucky and get cooked to a crisp. Sinclair turns menacingly to Prakash.
You want to kill me?
Haven't I always taken care of you?
Danny and his crew, which is now reduced to Azealia, Jason, Yunan and Jack, keep running as more fireballs rain down around them. Sinclair starts to strangle Prakash with his tie. More fireballs rain down around Danny and his friends. Sinclair does his soul-sucking trick on Prakash, whom he inhales as a cloud of black dust. Azealia falls and Danny helps her up.
Take cover!
Having disposed of Prakash, Sinclair wanders off. Danny and friends all hide behind bits of rock.
Almost there!
What? Who's that?
Jacques suddenly goes into a trance. He extends his arms towards Danny and Azealia, saying, Strength. Faith. You shall find me.
Strength, faith. You will find me.
They duck as a fireball flies by. It lands just in front of Sinclair. He strides confidently through the flames.
I should never have taken us into the tower.
She touches his face.
If you hadn't found the door, Sinclair would have. You tried to warn us, but nobody would listen.
They duck down as another fireball lands close by. Danny and Azealia share a meaningful look. Azealia smiles.
Looks clear.
They stand up again. Sinclair strides purposefully along through the quarry. Jason, Yunan and Jacques regroup with Danny and Azealia. Azealia turns to Yunan.
I need to tell you something.
He touches her face.
You don't have to tell me anything. I understand.
She nods.
Thank you.
Looking all stoic, Yunan heads off after the others. Azealia loiters behind, looking angst-ridden. Jacques is having another funny turn. You are here. Use the tablet.
I am here. Use the tablet.
Azealia takes it from Danny and walks over to Jacques. She holds the tablet up and it begins to vibrate. It shoots out of her hands and sticks against the rock face. It glows with mystic white light and gradually Tutankhamun begins to emerge from the rock. Azealia steps forward. She watches as the bald king falls away from the rock face. She makes to catch him, but misses and he hits the floor like a sack of doorknobs. Danny smiles as Azealia cradles Tutankhamun in her arms.
You're too late.
Sinclair turns Yunan to ash.
No!
He sucks him into his hand, then turns everyone else's guns into ash.
You dare to defy me?
Danny, Jacques and Jason run at him. He knocks Danny and Jason back, then grabs hold of Jacques by the throat and begins to inhale him as a cloud of dust. Once Jacques has been sucked away to nothing, Sinclair strides over to Azealia, Tutankhamun and Danny.
For you.
Azealia.
Something special.
He extends his arms towards the tablet, which floats off the rock face into his hands. He turns away from the rock face and holds the tablet up to the sky.
Father of evil, before thee, kings will tremble and empires will fall. I invoke thee, king of the flames, lord of the demons, spirit of Set, great Set, come to me!
Set appears as a giant skull-headed, bat-winged reptilian demon. Set, who has a pharaoh-style goatee beard, advances on Sinclair. He grabs hold of Sinclair and picks him up, then inhales him as a cloud of black dust. Danny, who is knocked out, comes to and sees Set advancing towards him, Azelia and Tutankhamun. He gets to his feet and picks up the tablet, then yells to Set.
Come on!
Set runs after him.
Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on!
Danny!
Come on, Set! This is what you want!
Set swipes at Danny. Azelia turns to Tutankhamun. Tutankhamun doesn't look so good and he whispers something. Set swipes at Danny and gets his fist stuck in the rock wall. He tugs it free and advances on Danny. Danny dodges another swing from Set. Azelia looks up to the sky.
Rise,
great sun god, rise, Tutankhamun, rise! Near the cliff edge, Set slugs away at Danny until he kicks him over. A bright purple light shines down from the sky, drawing Tutankhamun up to his feet. Danny rolls over the edge of the quarry as Set tries to stamp on him. He clings to the edge with one hand. Tutankhamun straightens up and sprouts a set of metallic angel-style wings. He looks back at Azelia, then takes to the air. Unable to cling on any longer, Danny lets go of the cliff face and falls. Tutankhamun zooms down and grabs him, then sets him down on the cliff top. Delighted, Azelia waves her hat. Tutankhamun turns to Set and says, "Let the battle begin." He runs forward and zaps Set with a thunderbolt he releases from his hands. Set responds by flapping his wings at Tutankhamun, who flaps back with his own. Set takes a couple of swings at Tutankhamun, who backs away. Set jumps up and flies over him. Tutankhamun zaps Set in the face with a thunderbolt, and Set bursts into lots of little demons, who quickly fly away. Tutankhamun walks over to Danny and Azelia and puts his arms around them. They disappear in a flash of bright light. They rematerialize in the tomb.
What happens now?
Nui kechet nebet mitemet kecheperet.
All is as it should have been.
Micheret.
You must go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As Danny and Azelia run off, Tutankhamun says, "Thank you, Danny Fremont." Danny and Azelia smile. Suddenly, all the artifacts that were taken from the tomb rematerialize in the chamber.
Let's go.
As they rush off, Tutankhamun disappears in a flash of light. Danny and Azelia run out of the tomb, and the door slides shut behind them.
Run!
They rush up the steps of the tomb. On the surface, they turn back and watch as the earth fills in the entrance so that there's no trace of it left.
It's gone.
They exchange a look and walk away. Later, they walk through the bustling streets of Cairo. Everything looks normal with no trace of the demonic carnage of earlier.
Seems like they've forgotten everything. Like it never happened.
I only wish we could forget.
Danny looks earnestly at her.
I wouldn't want to forget anything.
They stand gazing into each other's eyes. Azelia smiles and takes Danny's hands in hers.
Danny?
Jason and Andrew wander down the street towards them.
Oh my God!
Barely. We must have had one too many last night.
Oh, we have one too many every night, but last night was a complete blur.
Well, there must be something to remember, because I don't remember a thing.
We might have to start living a little more like our sober friend here.
Of course, it helps to have something else to keep you occupied.
You know, I think you might be right. Excuse me, James.
Jason goes after a girl.
See you later, Dan.
Yeah, see you later.
Danny spots Brian and Rembrandt.
You know, old chap, I've just come into a bit of money. I suppose art might be a nice investment. How much for that one and that one?
No, this one. He's gonna be dynamite.
Jacques chases after some legionnaires.
Hey, you filthy thief! No one steals from the legion and leaves!
Danny and Azealia smirk at him. He notices and turns to them.
You looking at me?
No.
Jacques puts a cigarette in his mouth and goes. Danny and Azealia walk on down the street. They see Yunan up ahead. Some children run up to Yunan.
How are you?
Azealia looks put out as a woman kisses him.
Like doing common sense. All is as it should have been.
She leans into him and he kisses her on the forehead. Azealia nods.
Mahmoud?
A poster on the wall for Mahmoud, fortune teller extraordinaire. Danny turns to a man sitting nearby.
Hey, Carter.
He hands Carter a document.
This one.
Carter examines it.
Oh, another map. What makes you think this one's better than all the rest?
Trust me.
Right, Fremont. Thanks.
Danny winks and goes with Azealia.
Somebody's bound to find it. Might as well be him. This could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
What?
It's just something I heard somewhere.
Old newsreel footage and a newspaper headline. Howard Carter uncovers tomb of Tutankhamun. Footage of Carter outside the freshly excavated tomb. Workmen carry baskets of sand away. Mummified remains are brought out of the tomb. At the Museum of Antiquities, Tutankhamun's gold death mask is on display.
Tutankhamun, also known as the Boy King, died when he was only 19. A fracture in his skull indicates that he received a blow to his head. Did he fall from his chariot? Was he murdered? These questions will probably never be answered.
She spots a fedora hat being twirled around by someone standing behind a display cabinet. Realizing it's Danny, she leaves her group of tourists.
Excuse me for just a minute.
Danny beams broadly as she walks over to him.
The Boy King, that's a good touch.
Thank you, but I hate having to lie. We saved the world, but nobody knows a damn thing about it.
It's better this way. Do you have 5 minutes? I need to ask you something.
I have to finish my tour.
Danny holds out a small silver box. She takes it and opens it. Inside is a chunky engagement ring with a green stone. She takes it out of the box.
It's a piece of the Emerald Tablet.
I want to ask you if you'll...
She stops him from dropping to one knee and puts the ring on.
Yes.
Yes.
I love you.
What took you so long?
They kiss and the museum visitors applaud.
I've got a great idea for our next book.
What?
We're gonna find Ozark.
Yes! The tour is over.
We can honeymoon near Mount Ararat. I hear it's really beautiful this time of year.
They hurry off. The gold death mask of Tutankhamun stares out of its display case. ITFC audio description.